It's not an easy story to tell. That's the way host Chris Morgan introduces a recent episode of his podcast, The Wild. The focus is a terrible accident that occurred 26 years ago, on June 10th, 1999, in Bellingham, Washington.
Law enforcement emergency.
There's a very strong smell of gasoline. Workers went over to the stream and said they saw stuff coming down there.
We have had a couple calls on this. So it smells like gasoline.
The creek has got a large yellow stream in it, ma'am.
The Olympic pipeline explosion killed three boys and destroyed a large swath of the Whatcom Creek watershed. Chris is here to talk about this new episode. Chris, welcome.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Thank you for being here. And first, may I say, I know that this place and what happened there are important to you. You can hear the care that you took in this episode. So to start, I'd like you to tell us about Ryan Provencher, who arrived that day before the explosion.
Yeah, it was an intense day for a lot of people, of course, and Ryan was one of them. Ryan Provencher was a young 27-year-old rookie with the Bellingham Fire Department back that day on an otherwise normal sunny day in June. And these panicked calls were coming in, and this rookie firefighter, Ryan, was one of the first people on the scene. He talked about arriving that day before the explosion. And, you know, he said that he looked to his supervisor to get a sense of what was happening there. He couldn't get his head around it, so he turned to his supervisor to try and understand.
I just remember him looking and just seeing his eyes get as big as saucers. Keep in mind, I'm young and inexperienced, but based on the look on my captain's face, who was actually very experienced as a firefighter and a fire captain, it was immediately apparent to me that this was very serious.
What was he seeing?
What he was seeing and smelling was something very scary. It was the thick odor and sight of a cloud of high-octane fuel that had come from a pipeline that had burst underground and leaked into the creek. And you can just tell from the way he describes it. And he took many pauses describing this scene. And, you know, you can imagine what it was like for a young firefighter back in the day to see and experience this. And turning to his captain with that reaction, he knew something serious was happening. And everybody we talked to about that incident that day had the same kind of reaction, that it was something they'll never forget.
And what happened next?
Well, the leak started, and it had ended up resulting in about 230,000 gallons of gasoline rushing into the water of the creek, flowing for a mile and a half down the creek. And you can only imagine what that amount of gasoline, that amount of high-octane fuel, the threat that would face. Mm. Tragically, there were two 10-year-old boys, Wade King and Stephen Chauvis. They were playing at the edge of the creek that day, and they had a butane lighter, and they flicked the lighter, and the entire creek ignited. Just unimaginable. And tragically, both those two 10-year-old boys passed away. Mm. And the fuel explosion, it sent black smoke 6 miles into the air. The scale of it is unimaginable, really. 6 miles into the air. So people could see it from a long distance away. I mean, the whole town saw it. Nobody knew what it was to start with. Some people thought a passenger jet had crashed, and others thought Mount Baker had exploded, had erupted. And during the course of that explosion, every single living thing in the creek was basically incinerated for the equivalent of about 13 city blocks. And it must have just been an absolutely insane, unbelievable scene of scorched earth and nothing left of the creek. The water all replaced effectively by the gasoline that was this fireball hurtling down this short creek. It's only 4 miles long from the lake above down to the sea in Bellingham, and it flows right through town. And you can only imagine what it was like. A local reporter at the time in the newspaper wrote this line that really stuck with me, and it was, "Ash snowed over the silent city as Bellingham reeled at the loss of three young men and all the life in Whatcom Creek."
Just devastating. Chris, how did such a terrible accident take place? What went wrong that led to this?
Well, apparently about 5 years earlier, contractors were working nearby, and they'd dented the underground pipeline with a backhoe. A 16-inch pipe was dented, but that was 5 years earlier. It wasn't reported, and the stress of that dent sort of built over those 5 years and eventually just burst.
Well, as you say, three boys died that day. They included 18-year-old Liam Wood. Can you tell us a bit about Liam?
Yeah, Liam, he was fishing. He was an avid fisherman, and I learned a lot about Liam during the telling of this story, and he sounded like an incredible young guy. 18 years old, and he was fishing in his favorite fishing hole in the creek, and he was overcome by the initial fumes and died because of them. Mm. We ended up talking to Jeff Clark. He was Liam's English teacher at the time. We talked to Jeff down at the creek, and just a really lovely man and very, very moving. Even talking to you now, Kim, it's hard because it was such a The whole experience was just a moving experience to be a part of telling this important story. And, you know, hearing it from Jeff Clark, his English teacher, he made Liam just sound like an incredible young man, ahead of his time, a thoughtful young kid. He wrote and he loved life and he loved fishing. And we also talked to another man there who wants to keep the story alive, including the story of Liam. And his name was Jimmy Watts. He was a Western student back then, but he became a firefighter later in life. So just another sort of element of the story and the impact that this place and this incident had on so many people and the way they lived their lives and the way they sort of memorialized this.
Yeah.
It was very, very moving just to hear all the stories of Liam, Wade, and Stephen.
Yeah. Chris, your story is in part about the losses, the tragic deaths of three boys and the destruction of this beloved place, the creek. But you also tell a remarkable story of recovery. So before I let you go, can you tell us about what it took to bring Whatcom Creek back to life?
Yeah, the community really banded together. It was a tragic time, of course, and people felt it deeply, the loss of three young lives and the loss of this incredible area, this ecosystem and the nature in it. And it all sort of went together. But the tribes, ecologists and restoration specialists all came together and began to restore it, which was no small feat. You know, they had to remove the gasoline. They used these big spider-like machines to agitate the earth and draw the gasoline out. And then they planted hundreds, perhaps thousands of trees. And they did things like adding gravel to the creek bed to encourage macroinvertebrates to come back. You know, the little bugs that then attract the small fish that attract the larger fish like salmon. One of our guests on the story was Renee LaCroix, and she was the head ecologist for the city of Bellingham, and she talks about the steps that they took to bring this ecosystem back to life. Because of the incident, $200 million in settlement were paid by the pipeline company. Some of those funds went to support the families who had lost their children in the incident. The Pipeline Safety Trust was established as well, and that was sort of an industry watchdog that sort of tried to ensure that this could never happen again. So lots of things came from it. Three pipeline managers went to jail over this, so there was a lot of recourse. The outcomes of this were pretty serious. And I just hope that the good things that came from keeping this story alive and keeping the memory alive of the boys will help, you know, help in the healing process that's still ongoing today, 26 years later.
Chris, are there lessons that you'd point to that conservationists and ecologists have learned from the recovery of the creek?
Yes, definitely. It was a new thing. You know, Renee told us that when they started to restore this place, they had no guidebook. This sort of stuff hadn't happened before. And so they were making it up as they went along in some ways, you know. Of course, nothing can bring back a human life, but this place, this creek, I think just reminds us constantly about healing and resilience and finding a way, things that nature does all the time. And that's part of the theme of our story, how the restoration of nature started to heal the town and the families and the people. And it's a place I know well. I cycle to my office through this creek all the time. I live nearby. I even wrote the script sitting next to the creek. It's a place that's in my heart. And it's beautiful again. You know, and in less than 10 years, some of the trees had grown from inches, the ones that they planted, to over 15 feet tall. And then following that, in came other species, other critters like deer and mink and beaver and otters and coyotes and raccoons and five species of amphibians and reptiles and 66 species of birds have been recorded now. So just nature healing, I think, helped the city to begin healing from this tragedy too. So, and now you can walk through the park and looking around, you'd never know that this happened, but the memories will always live on. And I do have to say, Kim, I'm so grateful to my producer, Lucy Suchek, and editor, Jim Gates. They poured their hearts into this, and I'm grateful to them because I'm very proud of the way the story came out, and I hope that everybody enjoys it when they listen and they learn something from it and keep the memory alive of the three boys.
Well, everyone here at KUW is so grateful for you, Chris, and your work. Thank you for this episode and talking to me about it today.
Thank you so much, Kim. I really appreciate it.
Chris Morgan is an ecologist, a conservationist, a filmmaker, and the host of The Wild. The show is in its seventh season, and you can find links to all the episodes on our website.